Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's so good to see you tonight and to have the opportunity to study the Bible with you again this evening. And we especially appreciate, I think, those of you that have come from a little ways off to be with us and to encourage us in our work and to worship God on a Tuesday evening when there are many other things that could be done. So it's good to have you here. I appreciate you coming so very much. I was thinking something was said about Hickory Heights. Brother Delton Porter was at Hickory Heights when I was at Columbia, Mooresville Pike over in Columbia. I worked there for 4 years before we went to Florida. And Brother Porter is one of my heroes from a long time ago, and good man. He's up at White House now and serving God and still doing good things in the cause of the Lord. I think he's not publicly preaching anymore, but he's serving the Lord as always. Some of you are shaking your heads like you know Brother Porter and his family, so that's good.
He preached here.
Did he preach here? Okay. Well, he's a good man. We've talked about several issues that have arisen in our society and how that many of these issues come out of a lack of respect and even belief in God and His Word. And it is a great problem, I think, even among ourselves often, that people have trouble with recognizing the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and understanding the authority of that Word. So I want to talk to you about that tonight, just a little bit. And I'm going to take you back to one of these good old Bible stories in the Old Testament and form a kind of a policy or principle on which we can rest our faith and we can develop our recognition and belief in the authority of God and God's scriptures. So let's turn to the very last chapter of the book of Exodus, and the very last paragraph, actually, of this book in which Moses tells about coming out of Egypt and going toward Mount Sinai and the promised land. In verse 34 of Exodus chapter 40, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Now get a concept very quickly in your mind of this, because I think it is important. God had told Moses to build a portable tent, and that God would, representatively at least, appear to him in this tabernacle. And he would appear by way of a cloud. Now, we mentioned the other day that we don't see God. God is spirit. No man has seen God at any time, the Bible says, in his native form. And so God appeared in this cloud to the Israelites. This tabernacle was, as I said a minute ago, portable. It was a tent that could be taken down and carried with them as they went on through the wilderness and got up to the promised land. So the tabernacle was very important as the place that God said he would come and be seen by his people, recognized as being there among them. Verse 36 tells us, whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now that's the passage we're going to come back to. I'll take you quickly to chapter 13 of the book of Exodus here. And in this chapter, we're introduced to this cloud. God caused the cloud to come and to guard the children of Israel while they were crossing the Red Sea. We go all the way back there. Let's read just a little bit. These passages are so colorful in so many ways. I just cannot describe them as well as Moses did and the Holy Spirit did in the scripture. So in verse 19, Moses took the bones. This is 13:19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. Now this is after the Passover, of course. And they're getting ready to leave Egypt. And they're going to take Joseph's mummy with them. That's M-U-M-M-Y, not M-O-M-M-Y. That was a little humor. You can... So they're taking Joseph's mummy with them back up to the promised land, as he had made them promise him before he passed. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped at Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord, now listen, here's our verse. This is verse 21. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, what that passage, of course, is saying is that this cloud guided them. And that's going to be our point. The cloud was God's representation at a time when Israel really needed guidance. They would get lost in the wilderness if they didn't have God to lead them the way. So God was going from the very beginning of the Israelite nation, show them in very special ways that he was the leader. They didn't go on their own. They didn't go and follow their own way about things. They followed God, and God set the path for them. And that's where they went. Now turn to the next chapter, over in chapter 14, down at verse 19. The angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. Now that's when they came up to the Red Sea. And they were getting ready to cross the Red Sea, only I suppose they didn't really know how that was going to happen yet. God was going to separate the waters in such a way that they could cross on dry land. After they had crossed, the waters came back in a flood over the heads of the Egyptians, and Pharaoh and his men drowned in the sea. But God protected them while he was instructing Moses and while he was dividing the Red Sea. And he protected them by taking this cloud back over them and putting it behind them so that the Egyptians couldn't see them, couldn't get through the cloud, and couldn't attack the Israelites while this was all going on. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So that cloud played a very important role, not only in guiding them, but in protecting them. And as we see in this passage, God not only showed his presence, that's what we were saying about the representation of God with them when the cloud came down over the tabernacle. They called it the Shekinah or the Shekinah in their language. A cloud that came down showed his presence. The cloud would lead them wherever they want. It was for guidance. And the cloud protected them, got between them and their enemies when it was necessary for them to do that. Isn't that beautiful? What that says about God and us. God protects us. God's presence is with us. Don't you ever forget that. Believe in that, that God is with you in this life. You are never alone. God said in Hebrews 13, after saying at least a half dozen times in these same words, "I will never leave you." God said that to some of his faithful men throughout the Old Testament. And he says it to us in Hebrews chapter 13. "I will never leave you." So God's presence with us is here. God's protection is with us from all the fiery darts of the devil, we sometimes say, with Scripture. And God preserves us in his word and through his teaching, guiding us all the way as we go from place to place. Now, this passage, you say, well, that's interesting. But you said when you started, you were going to talk about authority. So let me take you to another passage of Scripture before we make some applications tonight that you can take with you. Over in the book of Numbers, in chapter 9, this is Moses writing still. We're still in the Pentateuch and still getting the whole picture that God wants us to see. Let's begin reading at verse 18. "At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord..." Now let that sink in. The Israelites would not go until God commanded them. And they were to follow the commands of the Lord, which directed where they would go. So the passage says they would journey, and in the place where the clouds settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the clouds stayed above the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Now, I want you to notice as we read how specific this gets, because that's going to be the point as we go along. Verse 19, even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning. When the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. Now listen, at the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Are you beginning to see why I like this story to talk about the authority of God and the rule of God over His people? God has never left His people alone to guide themselves in spiritual matters, particularly. Is that true? And it's true today in the gospel age in which we live. God guides us by His word. He leads us. Like Israel, we are not on our own, and we do not follow our own way. No man can come to me, Jesus said, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The guidance of God in all that we do is so very important, and Jesus Christ is our cloud. He is like the cloud to us. He's God's representative. He's God Himself directing us and guiding us in the things that we do. Now we need to be impressed with that, because our first thought is, what do I think about that? No, it's what does God think about that? That's the issue, you see. I'm going to go in this direction in my life. Well, what does God think about my doing that? And will it please Him if I do that? The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now He commands all men to get in a path, to repent, He says. That is, to get in a path that will not offend God. And the only way to do that is to let God direct you in His word. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which are spoken, lest we should turn away from God and God's way. Read Hebrews chapter 1, first 3 verses, and chapter 2, the verse 3 verses. And it will explain exactly what we're talking about. And of course, when Jesus left the earth, He left His apostles and sent His Holy Spirit. What for? To guide them into all the truth. You see, the apostles were with Jesus for 3 years, but they were human beings, and they needed some special guidance. They had heard Jesus preach and teach, but there were things that they could not understand, Jesus said, things that they could not grasp yet when he went away. And so he said, I'll send the Comforter to you, and he will guide you into all the truth. And so we follow that. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. On what basis can we reach the wholeness of spiritual life that God expects of us? We do that by following his word. And we don't do it by following our own way. That is so essential to our understanding of who we are. We say sometimes we speak where the Bible speaks. We're silent where the Bible is silent. What is that? That is just a way to say we let God guide us. We don't go beyond what he teaches. We don't fall short of what he teaches. We try to do what the Lord wants us to do. Now, maybe it'd help us to take just a minute here and think back a little more about those Israelites following that cloud. I can just imagine some old, stubborn codger, Jewish man among these Jews, who, when the cloud arose one morning and moved off, say, I'm just not going to go. I'm going to stay right here. I'm tired. You ever heard that in religion? Have you ever heard somebody say, I know what the Bible says, but I'm not going to do that? What'll happen? Well, God's people will move on. And maybe a coyote will get this guy when he's staying there by himself. You reckon? And I can imagine some worldly rationalist who says among them, you know, there are just reasons that I'm not going to go with the rest of the people that are following God's way. There are too many hypocrites among them anyway, you know. And besides that, my way is just as good as the way that cloud is going. That cloud is going up a road that I don't know anything about, and I think I just don't want to go there. Have you thought about the mindset of people in religion, and how often it's not reasonable to think about? Here's a sweet little old lady. She'd do anything for anybody. Little Jewish lady. She'd cook for people. She'd sew for people. She'd do whatever she could for people. But one morning the cloud rises and moves off in this direction, and she kind of packs up her little basket and moves in this direction. And somebody says, why are you going that way? The cloud's going this way. And she says, you know, I just kind of feel it in my heart that I ought to go this other way. I see the cloud, and I know what it says, but I'm going to go this other direction because I feel it in my heart. Am I ringing a bell with you of how people think concerning the authority of God's word. Or a young Jew who says, now my way is as good as that way. And I know, I see the cloud, but I'm going this way because God's not going to let me get lost out here too far. And God will take care of me anyway. And my way is as good as the Lord's way. You see what the problem becomes when we get to thinking like those who are unwilling to commit to the cloud, to God, to God's leadership and God's guidance in every way. Well, let's talk. That's where our lesson goes for tonight. So let's make a couple of other applications that I think might be important to us, just so we are thinking properly about God's Word. We all say, I believe the Bible is the Bible. I believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. But then we get to thinking in all these ways. From a human, materialistic, rationalistic perspective, like the world thinks. And we've got to come back to God. Let me suggest to you, many in religion stop too soon. The Lord raises the cloud, moves along the way, we go with it part of the way, and then we stop. You know, the gospel needs to be observed in full as God gave it to us. The gospel plan of salvation says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe. Repent of our sins. All our religious neighbors believe we need to repent of sin, immorality, and the terrible things that we do against God. And our neighbors are often good people. But the Bible also says, except you be born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And some of our friends have already stopped back down the path about a mile or two behind where the cloud is leading. And so Ananias said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. The sins are still with us until we arise and are baptized. We've got to get up out of our sin and do what God says to do, and to go all the way with the Lord, you see. And isn't that important? We can't stop too soon, or we'll lose our souls. And let me tell you, sometimes some of our brethren kind of think, well, I was baptized, and everything's going to be all right because I've been baptized, and I don't need to be faithful to the Lord. And what are they doing? They're stopping too soon in the path. And what happens? There's destruction if you don't stay with the Lord. There's danger out there in the wilderness if we don't stay with the Lord. And it's not just a matter of stopping too soon. Sometimes we want to keep going where the Lord stops. We don't stop, you see. And that's just as dangerous too when we get out on our own some of our religious friends have developed their icons and their beads and their massive worldwide church organization and created all kinds of things that the Lord hasn't authorized. See, we're talking about God's authority. Or maybe we've established a mourner's bench that we haven't got from the scriptures. Or got our instruments of music that are not in the scriptures. Or we've created our organizations and put the church in some kind of business, maybe, that we ought not to be in. You see, what we've done, we've gone on beyond. There are some verses of Scripture at the very end of God's Word. And some say these verses only apply to the book of Revelation, but the problem with that is the theme of these verses. Turn to them very quickly in Revelation chapter 22. The theme of these verses is repeated over and over in the Scriptures, all the way back into Deuteronomy when Moses gave the law, this idea, don't add to what God says and don't take away from it, is a principle that we just must bury deeply in our hearts. Stated over and over again in Scripture, but succinctly said by John just two verses before the end of God's revelation to us today. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the things God the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Do you respect God's word? Do you respect His authority? You see, it's much more than just a certain kind of hermeneutic way to interpret the Scripture. It's a matter of respect for God, a recognition of what He has said to us, and an understanding that we need to believe what God has said to us. Well, you have the point for tonight, I hope. As we come to the close of our lesson, let me say something to you. These Israelites were wanderers in a wilderness for 40 years. And the cloud was guiding them. And they never knew when the cloud was going to move. The cloud might, they couldn't get settled. They couldn't build anything. They couldn't even unpack their bags. Did you ever go on a trip and it was maybe a 3 or 4 week trip to Europe, and you were living out of a suitcase and you were so tired of that by the time that last week you were gone? Well, the Israelites were 40 years out in the wilderness living out of their suitcases, never knowing if when they got up that morning the cloud was going to rise up and here they'd have to take off. We don't know when we're going to have to move on. We've had loved ones that have moved on suddenly. We've had loved ones that have tarried for a while, but then their cloud moved and they had to go on. And every one of us will move on at some point. And I guess my question is, are you going to be ready when the cloud moves for you to meet the Lord? And the way to be ready to meet the Lord is to have loved Him and loved His Word, respected it, and followed it without going too far beyond it, without falling short of it, without acceptance of it. That's what God wants from us. And that's what He wants from you. Do you believe? Jesus told His apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We don't want to be condemned, do we? At the judgment. So if you're here tonight, you need to obey the gospel. You need to come to Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or if you need to come and repent and turn back to the things that are right and good in God's sight, then this is the time to do it. Won't you come? Daniel, let's all stand and sing.